Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. Hey, pal.
That's right. Hey, it's just Matt and I today because Aaron is dealing with Tahoe burning. But good news is, as you and I saw online last night, and Aaron let us know that they protected his area, came close, but they saved his house, houses around him, and most of Tahoe. But man, that's a hell of a fire up there. It is bad. Yep. Bad news. And that's scary shit because, as you know, I live in the foothills, and we've had over the years about four real big fires. We had one where they lost 20 houses just two blocks away from me. And there's nothing worse than seeing people come down the hill looking just like their whole life drained out of them. And like, I'll never forget, the fire department staged right in front of my house, and you'd see the people come down the hill and they'd have like a box, or like one guy had a painting. And I was just like, that's all they got, man. Everything else is gone. And so that's a horrible thing. So if that happened to me, I'd be driving a car. I wouldn't be carrying a painting. I'd be driving one of my cars, man. So,
yeah.
Hey, on today's show, Matt, we're going to talk about, how about the chip shortage? Man, that is screwing everything up. I also want to talk about a certain muscle car that I think would be a good purchase. And I'm going to tell you about that. And we got some other stuff to talk about. But it's today, and it's brought to you by our friends over at Good Guys. And let me tell you about Good Guys, because they have their 23rd Colorado Nationals presented by Gryout's Garage coming up. The Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Loveland, Colorado for the 23rd Colorado Nationals presented by Gryout's Garage at T Ranch Events Expo Complex on September 10th through the 12th. Man, that's next weekend. This weekend, 2,000 classic cars and trucks on display with an autocross burnout competition and vintage dragster exhibition. That's hard to say. Huge swap meet. Huge. Those Good Guys have huge swap meets. They're even going to have a specialty auto auction there this year. It's fun for the whole family, including live entertainment, a model and pedal car display, and a free kid zone. That, you get that? It's free. And yep. Tickets are on sale now at good-guys.com. Free admission for the kids under six. And make sure you use the promo code GGSHIFT, and they'll give you a $5 off spectator ticket. That's for using GGSHIFT. You get $5 off, and, you know, at good-guys.com. That's the 23rd Colorado Nationals. You know, who else helps us?
Yes, there's a couple people. There's Geico and Meguiar's. Why don't I just jump in there and say thanks to our friends at Meguiar's?
You know, why don't you?
Over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched their next generation of protective products specifically geared toward DIYers that have their hybrid ceramic line of products, their hybrid ceramic spray wax. It's got their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology, delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. They have their Meguiar's hybrid ceramic liquid wax. It's their long-lasting ceramic protection in an easy-to-use wax. The hybrid ceramic spray detailer, perfect for in-between boosted maintenance, removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, boosts that shine as well. And then their new product is the hybrid ceramic wash and wax. It's the bright orange bottle. It's a unique liquid two-part system, all in one bucket, washes and protects all at the same time. And so it's Meguiar's. You know, they have a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's.
Did you see that photo I put up on our social media of one of my wheel customers? He put one of our wheels mounted, ready to go, and he was holding up his bottle of Meguiar's Hyper Dressing. And so we put it on shift and steer because it was the combination of Bond Speed wheels and Meguiar's tire dressing. It's kind of cool. You know what? We're on a roll. We're on a roll here, Matt. Let's talk about somebody else that helps us do it, and it's Geico. And do you rent? Do you own your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or your renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico, GEICO.com today. That's geico.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjo, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
This chip shortage is getting, like, critical at this point. Did you hear that GM just announced that they're idling a bunch of their plants because they don't have any chips?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was getting... better. I thought we were starting to catch up on chips, but apparently we're not.
You got plenty of fish, but no chips. That's a Brad joke.
That's a Brad joke.
But starting Labor Day, GM's going to idle plants for 2 weeks, but not their Texas plant that makes most of their full-size trucks and SUVs. They're not idling the Corvette plant and the plant that makes the Camaros and the Blackwing Cadillacs. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
So they must have a lot of back orders on those, but all other plants are going to stop. And, you know, a lot of people, Matt, have been asking, you know, why this is going on. And, you know, we know COVID-19 had a lot to do with this. They couldn't get as many employees to work and things like that. But I did kind of a deep dive on this, and some of it is also because of the electric cars take so many chips. They're really, you know, gobbling them up.
Yeah.
But then also, it's also part of our governmental policies. I found out that back in 2019, one of the largest chip makers in the world, which is partially owned by the Chinese government, it's called SMIC, the U.S. did a deal where nobody can sell to them because they're owned by the Chinese government. And so that kind of curtailed us getting chips. It wasn't really good forethought. And it's affected everybody. If you look at Honda, Toyota, Daimler, Benz, everybody's been hit by this. And
less of an issue with Toyota because Toyota has a plant that they own. They make their own chips.
Right. But not
I don't
for
know if they
all of
exclusively.
Their cars.
Yeah. Not for just all of their cars. I think there's they bring in some from other suppliers, but they have a little bit less of an issue than other people because they do have one of the facilities.
But now it's starting to catch up with them because some of the raw goods is what I read that they're having a problem with. And now it's hitting their bottom line. If you look at Ford in August, their numbers were down 33%. I mean, sales go down a third. That's really a big issue because, you know, the automakers are a big part of our economy. So it's a big trickle down through the economy. They've got to get this handled. Now, I did see that Biden just signed an executive order throwing some money at it, but, you know, cat's out of the bag, man. It is amazing. You know what I never realized till this happened? And I don't know if you've looked at this, but I didn't realize that these chip plants to make these chips, how expensive they are. I mean, we're talking like to do one plant and not even like a huge plant is like $100 billion or something. And it's like, it's like so cost prohibitive that's why there are just these few big plants around the world. And, you know, we need some aliens to come down and give us some technology.
I think some of the more technology focused companies like Apple sort of saw this type of thing happening. Maybe it's just a financial decision, but probably more of an availability decision. But, you know, all the new Mac machines have their own developed chips. And I think their next round of like iPhones and some of their other devices, they're making their own. They're all going to Apple produced chips instead of, you know, even something popular like an Intel chip, you know, that was powering Mac computers. They're just getting away and going, doing their own thing.
I think it's on the horizon, Matt. Automakers have to look at going, we got to do something different because we can't ever have this happen again.
Right. But to your point, you know, for a GM or a Ford or a Honda to say, we need to avoid this issue, we need to own our own plant. Well, not if it's, you know, $50 billion investment, right. You know, like
the ROI it's on massive. That takes a little bit of time, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How do you get that back?
Matt's got to buy a lot of Mach 1s to pay that back.
That's true. I don't know how many chips are in my car, but I feel like it's like one, there's one super chip. Anyway, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how it's going to go. I thought it was going to get better, but it seems like we've kind of run into this hiccup again. So I don't know. Are we calling it the second wave? The second wave of chip shortage? Is that too COVID-esque?
Exactly. I think they just assume, oh, it'll get caught up. And, you know, if conspiracy Brad, you know, it's like, wait a minute. The Chinese government is slowing down production and not get, you know, they know what they're doing. They're, you know, slowing our economy down by doing that. So we'll see. It's something that everybody needs to know about. We do know that the cars that are available on the lots are way up in price and that, you know, I know, there is a holding lot, which, you know, car dealers have these holding lots, you know, the cars that aren't, all the holding lots are empty. The one that used to be by the railroad tracks down the hill from my house when I go to the Costco, it used to be, you go over this bridge and there was this sea of cars. There's not one car in that lot. There is an old bowling alley down the street from the Bond Speed office here that a Toyota dealer had bought just for the parking lot. And they always had all their stock bumper to bumper in there. There's not one car in that lot anymore. You know, it's,
which is interesting because where they are is that they're at the manufacturers. I think Ford posted a photo is there was like 100,000, you know, maybe not quite that many, but there was thousands and thousands of Ford F-150s that were built ready to go that needed the chip. They wanted to keep the people employed, keep them working, build the vehicles, and then they got to go back and retrofit whatever chips that they need for those trucks. I guess there is a way to build them and not finish them and then go back and finish them later. But at least when chips come in, they'll be ready to go, right? And then they can just start getting out to dealers. But it's pretty.
Here's a question for you. Let's say you, back in February, ordered a new F-150.
Yeah.
And it was a 2021 F-150. Let's say by the time they get the chips in them and you roll in to get your title, you know, when you take delivery of it in January, is it still a 2021 or is it now a 2022?
So that's a good point. So this actually came up when I was getting the Mach 1.
Yeah. Because I mean,
if it was built and waiting for the chip, it's got the VIN number and it's got an assignment to it. And so there will be a certain amount of 2021 vehicles that will go out. But those chips for those trucks, for example, those F-150s we're talking about, those chips are pretty much planned and accounted for. So they have an idea when those are going to, they're not just waiting with no end in sight. Like they're saying, well, hey, we're going to get a shipment, but there's only a few, right? Where it's going to go. But they're not going to keep producing vehicles at a rate that exceeds the chip. They've done a little bit of that, but that's it. So yeah, my discussion, you know, I've had the Mach 1 for about a month now, but I did have a discussion with Ford, and they said, this is where we are. We have a VIN assigned. The car is not built until the chips come in. If it comes in soon, which we think it will, we'll build your car in August or something. And they said, if the chips don't get allocated to the Mustang, you know, the ones that come in, they said, then anything after a certain amount of time, I think he told me like September, end of September, beginning of October, he said, then you have the option of just getting a 22. He goes, because if we haven't built the car anyway, they just close the books on that VIN, right? They will never produce that car.
So,
and then I would just get a 22.
So I will never have a 21 and a half pickup truck to tow my 16 or my 70 and a half Camaro.
Well, maybe, but you'd have to kind of do the timing on that.
Because you look at the old days, they would just go, oh, yeah, it's a 70 and a half car because we never got it out in time, you know.
But look, I, you know, 20 years from now, when we're sitting in Scottsdale at a Barrett Jackson auction and someone's low mileage, you know, Mach 1 was going up there, you're going to hear these discussions and go, this was a 2021 car. Only a few of these were made because of the chip shortage back in the day. And everyone in the audience would be like, what's a chip shortage? And they're like, no, they only made a few of these cars. They only made a couple thousand that year, you know, as they ramped up production. It's going to be a limited car. And now that you kind of think about it, it's like, I do have a 21. I wonder what the production numbers are going to be for this year versus the next year or the next year.
But of course, by then, when we're sitting at Barrett Jackson, will be holograms. We won't be really there. And
Well, we're kind of getting there already with virtual meetings and everything. We can't even go to live events.
And the car will be up there. It'll be, this can only be sold to a museum because we don't allow gas powered cars anymore. And, you know, it'll all be, it's
something along the lines of that.
Hey, speaking of classic cars, custom cars, there's something that I wanted to talk about. And what got me thinking about it was I had a customer who took delivery of some Bond Speed Wheels from bondspeedwheels.com. Did I just say that? No.
Wait, what did you say? Did you say bondspeedwheels.com?
Bondspeedwheels.com. Yeah. BONSPEED.com.
Okay. And no, I gotcha.
Whenever I'm polishing on my Bond Speed Wheels, I like to have a Bravago in my hand. You know?
Yeah.
So
I wish everybody did. We don't even have them yet, but sure, go ahead.
No, I said I wish I had a.
Yeah, yeah, I wish too.
So hey, but very seriously, he had a 70 Monte Carlo, and this is kind of like one of those muscle cars that time forgot. You hardly see them even at shows, and they're literally a Chevelle with a different skin over them, and. Mm-hmm. Because if you sit down in a 70 through 72 Monte Carlo, it is a Chevelle dash, Chevelle center console, Chevelle bucket seats, the chassis underneath. It is just different body panels.
Okay.
And what it got me thinking about was a lot of people don't even know this car was even built, but I always wanted one. And a friend of mine who is a big muscle car guy, his name was Ron Lax, a buddy of mine. He had several of these over the years, and it was the Monte Carlo SS454. Have you ever heard of one of these?
Yeah.
They didn't have big stripes. All they had was one little metal logo down on the bottom of the fender, and it said SS454. Other than that, no grill badge, no trunk badge, anything. But these cars, they're rare. And I think they're kind of like that hidden collector's vehicle, because I started looking at it. It's basically a Chevelle. So if you take anything A-body, suspension-wise, performance parts, anything like that, you could bolt them on any of those 70 through 72 Monte Carlos, and they're a fraction of the price when you can find them. I went over to Hagerty and looked at some production numbers and some values, and it's very true, because in 1970 there was a strike. GM had a factory strike, so they only built 130,657 Monte Carlos because of the strike.
Because of the chip shortage?
Yeah, because of the chip shortage. Well, at the time, it was just a Pringles shortage, but yeah, right. they were demanding Pringles on the job. Of that, 3,823 of those were SS454 cars. Now, you could get a non-SS car, and that's what I'm talking about. You can find 396 cars, well, 402s. What's weird is in the Monte Carlo, they didn't call them a 396. They called them a 400, which is the same motor as a 396 in a Chevelle, but it's actually a 402 in both instances. You could get a big block Monte Carlo that wasn't an SS, but you could get an SS 454 with a 360 horse LS5 motor. Now, if you start looking on, comparison, the average price of a 70 LS5 Chevelle SS454, according to Hagerty, is about $57,000. That's the median. And they go clear up from there. In fact, I've got the numbers right here. The Chevelle, according to them, in concourse is $86,100. The average is $56,000. But a Monte Carlo with a LS5 is $33,000 on average. So that gives the average guy a car that could be just a wicked street machine. You could do anything you do with a Chevelle, and they're good-looking cars. And when you go to like 71, where you could still get the 360-horsepower motor, they only built 1,900 of those. I mean, that is, that's like nothing. And you got to figure over the years, there's probably only, 900 of those left maybe? So they're pretty rare. And I think we're going to see if, they're going to start going up in value as people realize what I realized, because it'd be a great muscle car to have. They're a Chevelle with just, a little bit different, they're not as swoopy. They're not as Chevelle-y, but they're good looking cars.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of parts availability for any of those A bodies. And have you looked them up there on your computer?
Yeah, I was just looking at it. I mean, obviously the Chevelle was, more popular just because it was a bit more of an attractive car, but this has kind of the flatter grill on it. But it is pretty cool looking.
And, when you can save $20,000 on your base project for a nice car, I mean, $20,000 to $25,000, that's pretty good,
Yeah, this is good. There's a couple of these hidden gems. We talked about sort of in the high end world is, everyone buying a Ferrari Enzo, I believe, but no one was buying the Maserati MC12,
mm-hmm.
right? I was like, well, That's pretty much the same car. The Maserati was a fraction of the price. Now people are starting to catch on and go, oh, you know what? The Maserati is actually better looking and it's more rare. Why isn't it, Enzo prices? And then eventually it started to climb up there. But those things were a steal for a while. I mean, I say a steal, but it's like $1 million steal.
Well, I've bought 14 of these that I'm reselling. So if you want one, no.
Yeah.
They're cool cars. I think people could do a lot with them. And there's a lot of those cars out there. But as you said, Matt, they're going up. Everything's going up. This car at one time, you could buy an absolute perfect model just 10 years ago for like in the teens, but mm-hmm. like everything else, they've climbed up, and but now's the time because I think they're going to go up even more. And you know, the great thing about a car like this, unlike some of the other kind of off the wall muscle cars, like let's say a Javelin or something like that, is that you can get a ton of parts for these things.
Yeah, that's the thing. I almost bought a 69 Camaro. Rough. It was a shell. It was just
there's nothing available for him. I know what you
mean. Right. It was just a chain of events where, you know, our guy at the shop had one for a while. You know, just one of these things where, you know, somebody does some work for somebody, somebody owes somebody some money, and the car is just sort of sitting in limbo. So I was like, if it comes up, I'm interested, I'll buy it. And eventually they settled up, and then the car wasn't available. But I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, you can get a numbers matching 69 Camaro and try to go mint restoration. That's cool. But this car already didn't have the original motor in it. So it's a great platform for a hot rod of some sort. Right. So it's a little bit less money. It would have been fun to do. Wasn't able to pick it up, but
God, you could have come over from the dark side, man. You could have been over on the right side of the world, you know?
You know, well, the guy had a 68 Mustang as well. And I was like, well, I've got enough Mustangs. I need to try a Camaro. And it turned out he paid his bill on the Mustang first. So he took that. And then just the last minute, this Camaro got settled up on. So we'll see. But that does bring me back to my original thought of still trying to maybe do an early Bronco then, because I was going to do it.
If you can find one.
If I can find one, but there's so much money right now.
That's what I mean.
And it just so happens, like, I've got a friend that was building chassis and is shifting business models, but has one chassis left, basically. Really, really cool Bronco chassis. All the pieces are there. He'd have to put it together. No right. rush on it. So, and because I'm swapping the engine in my truck and my Lightning, I'll have this original Lightning motor. I could do a rebuild, have a nice little fresh little motor for that thing. So sort of the pieces would kind of align, and then I'm not getting rid of, you know, things like this this motor and whatnot. So maybe something like that comes along.
Yeah, but the problem future. Is finding a donor is so expensive right now.
Yeah.
It's
it is. Like, I've seen some trashy things for $25,000. I'm like, I mean, if it had a clear a real clean body with a hard top, that's, you know, you really at this point you want clean sheet metal. You kind of want the hard top, because if it doesn't have it, you can't find it.
Right.
Right. And nobody, I don't think people are repopping it. There's some fiberglass stuff, but and then even if you can get the metal, you can't get the glass. Like, the hard top is a pain in the ass. Right. But if you got one with a hard top, you can remove it. So you need a Bronco with a hard top, and you need clean sheet metal, you know, clean dash, you know, the metal on the dash and glass. That's really about it. Because you're going to do an interior, you're going to do an engine swap, and you're going to roll a whole chassis underneath it. So you're going to pay $25,000, $30,000, maybe $60,000 for a Bronco, and all you really want is the sheet metal. So it's going to be kind of a tough thing to find. But
I can't believe what they're going for, because like what you said, my 69 Camaro that I have, it was a 69 Z28, but it didn't have the original drivetrain when I got it. Mm-hmm. So it's a hot rod. So
it's a good hot rod platform.
Yeah. And I bought it because it was in bare metal and I could see it was perfect, but I paid top of the market for that. You know, 12 grand for a car in boxes in bare sheet metal at the time was a lot of money. But it's then you swallow hard and you do it. And now I'm glad I did. But it's like, yeah, now it's all the stuff. You know, I've got the 572, but I still got to get the chassis. I still got to get, you know, it's like, man.
Yeah. But you know, it helps now that the aftermarket has produced so many different parts for these cars, and not just the hot rod parts, but the restoration parts are good as well. So there's quite a bit out there. The other thing that popped up in the news that everyone's buzzing about, of course, is
that McDonald's ice cream machines don't work. I know, this is ridiculous. So we have to talk. Oh, that's not what you were going to bring up?
That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking about the embargo has lifted on the Ford Raptor.
Yes. Right?
Super successful vehicle for them. Couple generations in already. It spawned the TRX, basically the competitiveness. Got the Ram TRX. And then we've known a new Raptor was coming for a while. But to your point, Brad, it's been delayed a little bit, even just on announcing the specs and testing it because of chip delays, right? So it was supposed to be this summer we were going to get a Gen 3 Raptor, and then next year, a Raptor R. And here we are now kind of getting to the end of summer, and they announced the new Raptor. I don't know when availability is going to happen or when the R is going to come out, but the base Raptor, still the 3.5 liter EcoBoost engine, 450 horsepower. I think they did some tuning on it to make that power just in a little bit better power band. But the big news, of course, is revisions to the suspension. They've dropped the rear leaf springs and used a coil spring. It's a rather tall coil spring. If you think of a progressive rate spring, this has three levels in the progressive rate, sort of instead of just sort of the two, you see the tightly wound coils and then the loosely ones on a progressive spring. This has three on it. Improved suspension.
Technical on that though, Matt. What that is it's the street level, the off-road level, and the oh shit level.
Pretty much.
A little too far. So
yeah, or it's more like a street level. Then there's the slow speed off-road and the high speed off-road. It looks very cool. So first of all, we talked quite a bit in previous shows over the last several months about the new F-150, the improvements that, you know, the power ports all in it, in the EcoBoost and the power boost version, the hybrid version, the large 12-inch display, the shifter that folds down and the console can make it like a desk or a laptop pad. All of those cool features are in the Raptor now. So you're getting a brand new, all fully featured F-150, but with the Raptor suspension, coil springs in the rear, some new suspension in the front. I'll tell you that as cool as it is, it doesn't quite have the suspension as advanced as the TRX. It's tunability. Yeah, the TRX, I think they use Bilsteins, and they're a little bit more advanced than the Fox shocks that are on the Raptor. Not to say it's bad in any way, but what is interesting is you can get it from the factory with a 35-inch tire or a 37-inch tire. And the reason why this is important as a factory option is because we keep talking about technology and sensors and cameras and all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Is once you start changing ride heights of vehicles, it starts to throw those things off. There are some other upgrades and features that you get. It's not just 37-inch tires.
Can I get a 44-inch monster motor?
You can probably not get that, but you can do whatever you'd like once you get the vehicle. There's going to be some other suspension changes and things like that that go along with the 37. So if you drive your car around your Raptor around town a lot and hit the trails on the weekends, maybe the 35s are what you're looking for. Better gas mileage, a little bit lower ride height, a little less expensive. But if you are more aggressive with the truck on a regular basis, then I think maybe you want the 37s. Now, I don't know if this is going to be the same options with the Raptor R. Keep in mind, the Raptor R is supposed to be the TRX competitor, right? It should have the Shelby GT500 supercharged engine. My guess is because that engine has 760 horsepower, the Raptor R probably coming around 750. So it doesn't one up the GT 500, and they probably want to tune it a little bit more for a lower end torque power band and a little less, you know, if you knock 5 or 10 horsepower off the top end, that's my guess on how they would do it. But anyway,
do you
looks
really
cool.
think they worry about that anymore? Back in the day, they used to, but I don't know anymore. It's almost like, let's just put everything, throw everything at it.
And I think they should just go for it and go, yeah, GT 500, 760 horsepower.
And if you're a Mustang guy, you're a Mustang guy. But this is a truck,
that's it.
We're doing this. Yeah,
that's right. And it could be 765. It could be 780, like whatever they
whole
think they can
buyer,
get.
Whole different buyer, whole different group. It's not like, remember when GM was really worried about, oh, we can't super tune the ZL1 because it'll have more, you know, than the Corvette. You know, and it's stuff like that. They got to be. But you know what I'm really waiting for, Matt? I'm holding out. I was going to order one of those Raptors, but I'm waiting for the Raptor Ranger Splash.
The Ranger Splash is back. That trim.
Yeah, but where's
the
Raptor Ranger Splash, man? Come on.
See, you know, that's funny because somebody did spot some friend of ours in the industry was like, they walked by, they found a Ranger Raptor in the U.S. And they're like, oh, I didn't think they were bringing them here. Somebody, I don't know, somebody brought one over here. Or I didn't even get into the details so much. They said it was a Ranger Raptor, but it could have been a Ranger with a Raptor logo on it that they put on the back. But I saw a Ranger Raptor in Europe, I believe. I think we were at like a Goodwood event or something, and it was on one of the Ford displays.
That would make sense over there because their streets are so much smaller, you know? I mean, can you imagine, like,
just run over it.
When I think of Switzerland or some of the countries I've been in, driving like a TRX or a Raptor around there, it'd be like, you know, you'd be like, oh God, I'm taking more history off as I go, you know, you're scraping it off the buildings as you go down the street.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I love this. I mean, I you know, the more and more I think about it, my next vehicle might be a Ford truck because I'm really digging that onboard power supply. They've got me with that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because Adam Carolla and I were talking about it, and he was like, you know, my F-350 is getting a little long in the tooth. It's running into a few issues. And he was like, what about the new Lightning? And I said, you know, the Lightning looks cool, but the way you use your truck is to tow it, you know, the race car up the Grapevine. You're not going to make that on a single charge. So I told him, it's like, you might want to look at the power boost, the big battery hybrid. You know, there's a small battery and a big battery, and the big battery hybrid has all that onboard power you're talking about, the 220 outlet and all that stuff. So that thing is pretty cool. So I'm hoping I'll get one in to test one. I went to an event and drove it and saw all the features and whatever, but I'd like to get one in here and give it a run for a week and try out a few things.
I want it the week they turn my power off at my house because of fires or something. And I can, get the call from Charlotte. Brad, you need to get home to plug in the refrigerator. You know, bring the truck home to plug in the refrigerator.
I tell you, you certainly could. We've had a lot of discussions about powering that, using it as the backup battery for your home.
Yeah.
You know, because right now you could spend tens of thousands of dollars on a backup battery for your home and you don't get to drive it.
Right. Exactly.
You might as well get one you can drive.
I saw Ford did a little PR stunt type of a thing. They sent 10 or 20 trucks down to Louisiana for the power supplies. It was like, you know, but it's a good way of showing off what it can do. I think it's really cool for us because I have suffered from those power outages numerous times.
Yeah. If they can do it, if they can bring power to those places, like they got to build trucks. So we got to see.
They're going to power the factory with the trucks in the yard. So
let's give a little reminder about who's supporting us in the ad world.
You know what? I'm glad you remembered that.
And then we're gonna hightail it out of here. It's gonna be a little bit shorter today, I think. But just a reminder from our friends over at Meguiar's. You know, as we mentioned over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched their next generation of protective products geared toward you and me, the DIYers. It's their line of hybrid ceramic products. They have their spray wax. It's in the bright blue bottle. It's got their advanced SiO2 technology and delivers that ceramic wax protection and durability that's beyond traditional wax. They've got their liquid wax as well, the hybrid ceramic liquid wax. Again, that long-lasting protection in an easy-to-use liquid wax. Of course, their ceramic spray detailer as well, perfect for in-between boosting that maintenance, that additional shine, cleans, and shines all at once. And then, of course, their hybrid ceramic wash and wax. It's the bright orange bottle that you'll see in stores. It's unique, two-liquid system. It mixes together in one bucket, washes, and protects at the same time. So Meguiar's, you know, they have a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone, and it's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's.
Hey, and don't forget Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Building policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners, your renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And, you know, tell them Shift and Steer sent you, because those guys have been supporting us for a long time. But you know what? You might think that summer's wrapping up, that it's winding down, but it's not, because the Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Loveland, Colorado for their 23rd Colorado Nationals, presented by Griot's Garage. It's at T Ranch Events Complex, and it's on September 10th through the 12th. They're going to have like over 2,000 classic cars and trucks on display, with an autocross burnout competition. They're going to have vintage dragsters on display. It's going to be cool. They also have their huge swap meet, but they're also going to have a specialty auto auction. So you might go there without a car and come home with one. And look for one of those Monte Carlo SSs there, man. You might.
That's right. You should definitely walk to this event so you can buy a car and drive.
That's right. And it's fun for the whole family, including live entertainment, model and pedal car display, and a free kids zone. And
free
since
kids.
Since you don't have to pay for the kids to get in, that's money towards that new Monte Carlo SS that you're going to buy. And tickets are on sale now at good-guys.com. Free admission for kids under six. And if you use the promo code GGSHIFT, you'll get $5 off a spectator ticket. Right there, another five spot towards that car you're going to buy at the auction. Make sure you use GGSHIFT at good-guys.com. And with that, I think we're wrapping it up. We're going to have a great weekend. Matt, where can they find us online?
Just check us out at shiftandsteer.com. And we're on all the social media accounts. Look for Shift Steer Media or Shift and Steer. And you can give me a follow at Motorator.
Yeah, check me out at Bradley_Fanshaw on both Facebook and Instagram. But, you know, follow my Instagram. I put tons of stuff up, and I've been making sure I've been getting lots of cool stuff up. And we've also been starting to put up some more stories at our Shift and Steer feed. So go check that out, too. And till next week, we appreciate it. And we're going to go out and drive some cars. See you, man.
See you, guys.
See you, pal.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.